At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com today for limited time offers.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
That's Stephen Thorhill. Could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola. All right, Justin, you understand how this year game is played?
Sure, do you thrill?
Fantastic, because I just explained it. I'm glad you listened. All right, so you have your choice of one of three categories. We have Bite Me, in other words, what did somebody find in their food? Hit Me with Your Best Shot, where you guess the unconventional weapon that someone chose to use as a weapon. And finally today, Animalize This, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem.
Ted, what are you feeling today?
Hit me.
Hit me with your best shot.
Mike, you're not wrong. I almost always go animal or drugs. So I was like, screw it, hit me.
I was shocked by that, too.
I had it in the chamber. I was ready to roll.
Zap. Gotcha.
All right, Justin, here is your story. A man and a woman have each been charged with multiple felonies after they used the threat of force to take panhandling money from another couple. It's a turf war. So 32-year-old Carla Debony and Bennett County and 20-year-old Devon Farmer, they've each been charged with felonies for robbery and conspiracy robbery. Now, the police responded to a call reporting a robbery at a convenience store. The caller followed the perpetrators to a bus stop. When they were there, officers found two people matching the descriptions provided by the victims. Other officers spoke with the victims at the convenience store. Now, the victims told officers that they've been panhandling when a man, later identified as one of the suspects, approached their vehicle and pushed something into the driver's throat. He demanded the victims give him all the money that they had while panhandling, and he told the victims they were on his turf, and if they continued to panhandle there, they'd be forced to pay him 50% of their earnings. This is like homeless mafia.
Wow.
Yeah. So a woman, later identified as the other suspect, she walked up to the victim in the passenger seat, opened the door, and demanded the passenger's purse. The victim said that she took the loose change, a cell phone, and an ID. Anyway, they read the address and the ID aloud, told the victims they would come to their home and kill them if they called the police. The female said she wasn't certain how much the other woman took, but she guessed it was around 75 cents.
Oh.
So officers asked the victim who'd been in. Oh, yeah, that's worth going to jail for. So officers asked the victim who'd been in the driver's seat if he required medical assistance for his throat. Said the throat was sore, but he did not require an EMS. Anyway, the other two were in fact arrested for all the charges I stated earlier. The question is, what was the weapon they held to the man's throat in the driver's seat? Was it a nail file? Was it a large staple? Was it a Sharpie? Or was it a toothpick? So nail file, large staple, Sharpie, or toothpick. That was the weapon held to the man's throat.
I know those nail files get kind of wicked, but what are you guys thinking?
I'm going to go a large staple there, Justin.
One of those shipping boxes?
Yeah, one of the ones that suck when you have to break them down for recycling.
Oh, yeah, no, those have gotten my fingers way too many times.
Man, that's a weird one. And obviously the people felt threatened by it.
They did feel threatened by it, yes.
It's just weird, so I'll go Sharpie.
Sharpie for 10. All right, Justin, what are you thinking?
You know, I'll go down the weird route too, and I'll go toothpick. I mean, they're all weird, but toothpick.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go.
What did he hold to this guy's neck? Was it a nail file, a large staple, a Sharpie, or a toothpick? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Categories hit me with their best shot on profilers. We got a couple charged after stealing money from another couple at a convenience store. Was there a homeless turf, I guess?
Yeah, it's a homeless turf war, man.
So the man held something to the driver of the man's throat in an attempt to shake him down for whatever he had. Question is...
75 cents, Miles.
What did he try to shake him down with? Was it a nail file, a large staple, a Sharpie, or a toothpick?
Well, Justin, that is the very question that we posed to you. Let's start with Miles Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
You went with the staple?
I did.
It was not a staple. No matter how many times Justin has cut his fingers on one. But Justin, you went with the toothpick. First of all, do not waste a toothpick on someone's neck. Give it to me, because I will gladly use it. It was not a toothpick. Ted went with the old Sharpie, because Ted clearly is a killer at heart.
Oh,
and there it is.
Sharpie it is.
A Sharpie.
I mean, you could kind of put it up there and be like, it's a gun.
I guess they pulled the cap off first.
All right.
Feel, if the cap's on there, it's not that sharp. When you pull the cap off, it's a little bit sharper.
Yeah. At least you can
realize leave a dot on someone's
actually
neck.
Actually, what he had really used in that one.
That's why.
I got Sharpie on my neck.
It was one of them big Sharpies.
It just seems like a weird weapon to be like, baby, don't worry about anything when we panhandle today. I brought a Sharpie, and I will F someone up.
Soft rubber
tip. Yeah.
Now for all TV news all the time, it is time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Let's see. The best team in the NFL.
Of the Chiefs.
Chiefs. What do they want? Two in a row and like... Three out of four?
Three out of five? Three of the last five seasons, but two in a row, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Travis Kelce, tight end for them, dates Taylor Swift.
What?
Yep.
When?
Yep.
I can't believe nobody's told us about that.
His brother Jason Kelce's gotten pretty famous now, too.
Yeah. What?
Yep.
Another Super Bowl winner?
Mm. A lot of stuff going on there. Well, good news. Kansas City Chiefs have a Hallmark Christmas movie in the works.
Oh, my God.
It's called Holiday Touchdown, a Chiefs love story.
No.
It doesn't have anything to do with Taylor and Travis.
It has everything to do with
it. Filming will start next month in Kansas City, which is the hometown of Hallmark.
Okay.
Oh,
so
okay.
They're going to film it.
Right.
They're going to film at Arrowhead. It'll be the first time an NFL venue has been in a Hallmark movie, which shouldn't be shocking.
It's not.
I don't know.
At all.
And honestly, the NFL's pretty strict. Now, there's not a lot of movies, football, like pro football movies, where you see NFL logos or NFL stadiums.
They'll let the players show up, but they're not wearing their jersey.
Right.
But they're not showing the logos, none of that.
Right, like Any Given Sunday, I like that movie.
The Sharks and who?
Ah, I forget. Like,
they're professional, and you can see their logos.
Right,
but
they were
it.
The Sharks, right? They couldn't. And some of the scenes that I want to say... either that movie or it might have been The Replacements or whatever, but they actually, Jerry Jones let him film at the Cowboy Stadium, and I think to this day the NFL was pretty annoyed with him. Like, no, man, we don't do that.
Well, even in the Batman movie with Bane, right? He's blowing up a football field after a kickoff return for a touchdown. The guy returning the kickoff is Hines Ward, and you clearly recognize it's Hines Ward. And he's wearing a uniform that almost looks like the Steelers, but it is not the Steelers. Even you know it's Hines Ward. You know he played for the Steelers. It kind of looks like the Steelers, but like no, you cannot use our logos.
Yeah, obviously, like draft day, Kevin Costner. That's about the NFL draft. They obviously gave their blessing,
sure.
And that's more of the inner workings. But anytime, hey, look, I get it. But anytime the NFL has stuff that is a little more, I think, realistic to what goes on,
if it's bad
behind the scenes, right?
Yeah.
They're like, no, we are not approved of this. You can't remember that. I still think it's one of the greatest TV shows I've ever seen in my life.
Ballers?
ESPN. Ballers. No. Playmakers.
Damn.
Ballers is on HBO.
Right.
Playmakers came out for a season on ESPN. And I mean, it only made it like two or three episodes. And look, it was obviously over the top what was going on.
Of course.
I think one guy was smoking crack in the locker room or whatever. But, I mean, the NFL basically was
no,
like...
No, Antonio Brown's retired.
Yeah. The NFL basically went to ESPN and was like, you like the NFL on your airwaves, like, no season two, done with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Any Given Sunday was a little more aggressive, but still, I think, okay. Last Boy Scout, obviously, if you've seen that movie, wasn't going to get approved by the NFL. And there's plenty of other stadiums you could film in. But, obviously, first Hallmark movie being filmed there. Movie will follow a female Chiefs fan whose family are finalists to win... Fan of the Year contest. We actually have a couple of listeners, I think, that won Fan of the Year contest for the Seahawks before.
Oh, damn. That's cool.
Yeah.
Basically, she starts the fall for the guy in charge of the contest.
So not a player.
Her granddad's hat goes missing. It's a Chiefs thing. I mean, look, you know what it is. It's Hallmark.
It's Hallmark.
I like the way they say this. A little Christmas magic could throw a Hail Mary. So obviously, it'll be called Countdown to Christmas.
All right. Damn. Can't wait.
I mean, look, it makes more sense that Hallmark is based there, that they're picking the Chiefs.
Yes.
But I just think for the rest of the country right now, like, even if somebody in your loves Hallmark movie, it's just like, Jesus Christ, enough of the Chiefs.
Enough of the Chiefs.
Looks like love's in the red zone. Or the red and green zone.
Oh, good call.
Wow. I hate you right now, Mike.
Like that arrowhead was pointed at her heart.
Oh,
Stars,
damn.
Green Bay Packers quarterback, Jordan Love.
Slather barbecue sauce. People point out Ace Ventura with the Dolphins.
You know what? Good call. Yeah. I completely forgot about that. I don't know how they let that fly.
They're probably like, this movie is so inane.
Maybe it's pre-Goodell.
Probably was.
Yeah, it was. Probably Tagliabue. I would think when Ace Ventura came out.
I don't know, because you're right. And like, look, I love Ace Ventura. You go back and watch that movie, it's like, oh, man.
That's wrong.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, that is kind of crazy.
There was also a movie in the 70s. Ooh, what's it called, like Black Sunday or something?
Oh, yeah, about the Super Bowl and the blimp.
Yeah, it was about it's going to be a terrorist attack on the Super Bowl. The bomb was being delivered via blimp. Obviously, the people have figured out you're trying to stop it, but I want to say it was the Vikings against the Chargers. I think those are the two teams, and the NFL let them use the logo. Now, keep in mind, that was the 70s before the NFL became what we know it to be now.
And Goodell didn't take commissioner until 2006, so that's long before Ace Ventura.
Or long after.
Long after,
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Adele would let that fly. I read that script like, are you kidding me? Am I on punks right now? Oh, yeah. Nick Nolte, North Dallas 40. Was that, in fact, the Cowboys?
It was supposed to represent the Cowboys. They weren't the actual Cowboys.
Okay.
At that point in time, they might have been the Texans.
Okay, so for the purposes of the movie. All right,
correct.
Gotcha.
You got to remember, man. There's nudity in that. There's chicks in hot tubs.
Unlike the actual Dallas Cowboys, where that never happened.
Right, but kind of like we're saying, like, I didn't think about Ace Ventura, but like I have watched that movie and been like, God, I'm surprised they let it. But it's pre-Goodell.
Yeah.
And then, and even in the 70s, right? I mean, I don't know if people realize this, because the NFL is the American sport now, right? Like,
without a doubt.
Right. But I mean, college football dominated the NFL forever. And it was like, you know, like people watched it, but you had to really like football.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas nowadays, I feel like college football still brings in hundreds of thousands. There's bigger stadiums. But as far as TV ratings go, you know, like we got to sit here and do this or, you know, plan our day around that. It's definitely the NFL.
Yep.
Turning point, 80 for Brady. Yeah, I think Tom Brady gets a pass.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. Like draft day. That's like...
It's a positive thing.
Right? Like, nobody's blowing coke or smoking crack in draft day, right? It's just about what goes on in the inner workings, right? Like, 80 for Brady. Again, no crack.
Tom Brady face down in a pile of...
Yeah. Right. Right there, they're old women going on a trip. You know what I mean? Nobody's facing blunts in the locker room before they play in the Super Bowl.
Director's cut.
Let's see. Does anybody in here watch House of Dragon?
I haven't yet. I need to. Yep.
All right.
It's on my list of my future appointments.
So I watched the first season. I haven't watched any of the second season yet.
Is it good?
I liked the first season, yeah.
Okay.
You know, is it the level that Game of Thrones was? I don't know if you can achieve that again.
You're not, because that was lightning in a bottle.
But it was still a fun show.
Okay.
Still worth it.
See boobs a lot?
Not as much.
There's definitely sex scenes.
Many, because there are a lot of boobs in Game of
Thrones. Yeah, there's still plenty. Yeah, there's still some, action.
Plenty's good, you know.
Well, Olivia Cooke, she's in House of Dragons. She's
Dragon, man.
House of Dragons.
It's not plural, bro.
One dragon.
All right.
It's like the Fred Meyers.
Yeah.
I only respect houses that have two dragons.
Two dragons.
Well, punk ass house. So I guess on this season's second episode, her character has a hot, as they say, hot and nasty scene. She says the sex scene they shot was intense, and it, quote, went on for effing ages. And it ends with the character... she gets there, we'll say.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, Lord, I'm there. Lord in heaven.
There's two dragons now.
Right, so, like, look, we all know this, right? Like, women are always like, yeah, we faked them. Cool.
Yeah.
Right? But she had to fake it on camera, and it's not even real sex, but it's still very close and intentional. So I think she has a valid point here. She's like, it didn't make the final cut.
Oh, I'd be pissed.
Also, it's just like real sex.
She's just like, it didn't make the cut.
She never got there.
Why did I have to do a fake it on camera if we were never going to get there?
Because they're trying to make it realistic.
Do you have a fake orgasm voice? Someone said, all right, man, you're on camera.
I'm
you're
doing done.
You see. Oh, damn.
Hold still.
Ice cream?
Sorry about your eyeballs.
Go ahead, Thrill. Sorry to be the control.
No, I'm done. That's my entire scene. Yeah, girl.
What are we going to have to fake it in the Hallmark movie about Arrow Love in Kansas City?
Hallmark needs to make like an X-rated movie. Just one time. Right, because the whole thing's about love, and it's always the same scenario, right? And we get it, but if you said, look, at the end of the movie, you know they're going to get together. You know how it works out. We're doing a sex scene. I'm in. I'll check it out.
I don't think they even imply that in the Hallmark movies, though. I don't think they even get that far.
You don't have to imply it because a lot of kids watch it with their mom.
Right.
But as an adult, we understand why you're pining after someone. You're trying to get some leg.
I feel like...
trying to get up in your guts. But they don't say that in Hallmark. But if they just said the final scene, just like, give it to me, mama. I've been playing sweet chicken.
I don't think they hardly ever sleep in the same building until like the end of the movie.
Same building.
Yeah, this is much more of, I've gone back to a small town.
I think that's even worse. All them corn-fed women in Missouri.
He's about to lose the cottage.
I've been back to College Park a bunch.
Get me some Midwestern butt.
Never help me.
I'm Tracy Morgan for the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, no. Could you imagine?
If you like me and want to see more butt...
We're going to save this Christmas tree farm.
Hallmark, they're going to do it this year. You're going to see butt.
Fresh cut.
He sings his own theme song, boy.
I'm Tracy Morgan. I'm about to get some butt. Merry Christmas.
And Happy New Year. So Ryan Seacrest, we all know he's going to be hosting Wheel of Fortune this fall. And I told you a few months ago, Vanna White is returning.
Mm-hmm.
Drama, though. Maybe.
Uh-oh.
She had a 2-year contract to stay on the show, 2025-2026 season, but there are reports that she doesn't jibe with Ryan Seacrest.
Well, I can see
there
that.
Wasn't a lot of rep between Sajak, I mean.
But they were buddies behind the scenes.
Yeah, but they didn't banter that much. I mean, they said hi at the beginning and bye at the end.
But I'm thinking that, like, look, they did not talk much. She's there to do her thing. He's there to do his, but... When you read about, especially in the 80s and 90s, all the stuff they did between takes, it's like, look, man, they were throwing down between takes.
Miles, you're right. It wasn't a ton, but like they talked in the beginning, and then once in a while during the game, she would kind of say something, and then she would talk at the end. I feel like over the years, she actually got to talk a little more.
She absolutely did.
Which was nice. But, you know, source says, quote, there's a part of her that wants to walk away sooner. It's just so difficult without Pat Sajak. It's also just weird, like... I mean, it was always her and Pat Sajak. So now you got, and there's nothing wrong with Ryan Seacrest. I'm sure he'll do a great job. I get why she wanted to stay on, but I also could fathom, like, this is just different. This isn't the work I'm used to.
I'd replace her with Wanda Sykes. Hey, spin that letter. Do it yourself.
Wanda Sykes.
Right. They keep guessing the same letters over and over.
Yesterday, I recommended on Vice Who Killed the WCW. I was wrong. Like twice in 2 weeks on something. As soon as I turn on that episode, it's like, so Ted Turner's the owner. Now, he wasn't as involved. I guess once they were with Time Warner and then merged with AOL, America Online, which I completely forgot that whole thing happened. And like as it's happening, they could like, you know, late 90s, early 2000, that dot-com boom was massive. But I guess some people already realized that like it wasn't going to last and this and that. There's other companies starting up, but they're just being evaluated at money they were never going to achieve. But they get in there and like Ted Turner, now he only has 40-some percent instead of 50. So they're like, yeah, just stay in the corner. Like basically like we don't care. We outvote you.
Yeah.
And then the guy that was running it for him, you see a lot of the wrestlers saying like that guy understood the business aspect, but he didn't understand like the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a... I will say this. I've watched all 4 episodes of Who Killed the WCW. I'm not positive. Like, it's easy to see, you know, they sold it off to WWE. So at the final ending, and look, I'm never going to sit, like, I watch wrestling. I'm never going to champion Vince McMahon in WWE, right? But they did buy it. It was a much cheaper price. And it's like, Yeah, they killed it off. Could they have kept it going as like a side thing?
Easy.
Probably. I mean, they have NXT now. I still think, and we were talking, Miles and I were talking in the office, like there was a lot of guys on that roster that were pretty damn big. And stuff. Like, I get Lex, you know, Luger and, and like Hulk were kind of getting up there in age, but it's like Goldberg was still on top of the world.
Yep. Sting, you know, was big.
Sting was big. Booker T, you know, he does make it over to the WWE. But it's just kind of crazy. Like, they were on top of the world, and then it just came crashing down pretty quick.
Yeah, still had Ric Flair, I think. And a couple guys. I know they bounced back and forth. It's hard for me to remember, because a lot of guys just jump ship and jump back.
Well, and that was one of the things, too, is, like, they got all this turmoil, and who's calling the matches, who's making the matchups. So they showed this stat where it was, like, I want to say it was Flair and Hogan, and they had hundreds of thousands of people pay for this pay-per-view. Well, then they did the same thing a year later, and it was like the numbers were way down. It's like, you got to do something a little different. Like, yeah, they're legends, but you don't want to just watch them
over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had that on there. Tonight, we're kind of entering that era, if you're not a soccer fan, kind of the dead period. Yes, I know baseball's going on. They play 162 of them. But if you like NBA, NBA drafts on tonight. You can see who's going to be the stars of tomorrow.
Boy, thank you, Tank. We appreciate it. No kidding. You're listening to Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A woman decides to offer husband by putting Roundup in his Mountain Dew. Meanwhile, a homeowner wonders why her neighbor keeps using his yard to go poo. Typo leads to murderer's release, and yes, they can find him now. 76-year-old bank robber says it's easy to retire, but I don't know how. And a woman wrecks her car. Surprise, she's got a dead body in the back seat. It's time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my car.
And our top story, we're going to Ohio, where a man is on the loose. He was put into the county jail on charges of aggravated murder and was awaiting his trial, which was scheduled for later in August. But out of nowhere, he was informed that he was free to leave and was ushered out the door. Interesting. Didn't take long for staff to figure out that due to a typo, they'd released the wrong man. The one that actually was due to leave was in jail on assault and theft charges. His case had been thrown out due to a witness not showing up in court. The issue came when the case numbers of the two were off by a single number, hence the typo. Authorities are searching for the man now.
Oops.
And Steve, you and I were talking about this back at the office. Like, I understand that there's a whole lot of things that go on backstage and whatnot, but can these case numbers have like a lot in between as far as differences as far as the case numbers go? Like, this was like 1659801 and his is 1659802. Like,
and I was asked, like I said, he knew he wasn't supposed to get out, but once they let him out, you're not going to treat. I'm sure they will eventually find him, but they will physically find him. It's not going to be because his cell phone record, he knows damn well. And like you said, his court case was pending. He hadn't gone to court. He hadn't been convicted yet.
Correct.
But he's about to be. So his ass, he's rolling out.
He's booking on out of there, right.
We actually came up with our escape plan because he's in Ohio. We're trying to figure out the easiest way
to get
out of there.
Let's see. Do we go up and over the water here? Do we?
Yeah, I'm going to
Canada.
Yeah, I mean, come on. And then we said, how do none of the prison guards at least do a due diligence and ask, right? Because you've been in jail, Ted, and the prison guard, I know why you're in prison. I mean, you've attempted murder.
Do you, though? How many people do you see going in and out of there to where, to be honest with you, it's just paperwork across a desk?
It is, but I mean, after a while, I think other inmates will tell you, right? Because all that banter goes around. You know who potential murderers are.
Yeah. Yeah, right? You know what? That's fair.
If you're here because you slapped your girlfriend, you're here for 30 days, maybe I don't know that. But I know you're not going to be here long. But I know if you're
here. Was he in jail or was he in prison yet?
He was in county jail.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was awesome. When they're like, hey, you can leave, I guarantee. He's like, you might want to. Okay. Never mind. Yeah, cool.
And then you were thinking that the judge that was normally there was on vacation. He wasn't. He was kicked off.
He was kicked off. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this was like a new interim person,
correct.
I believe.
Yeah, correct. Like a visiting judge.
Exactly. So there's a whole cluster going on in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, yo. In other news, odd story out of Indiana, a man found something interesting while out mowing his lawn. It's not unusual for one to find fecal matter in the grass while you're out mowing the lawn, but our man knew on arrival that this wasn't an ordinary neighborhood critter that dropped a hot one on his grass. No, no. This was left by someone that lived nearby. Given that this wasn't the first time this had occurred, nor was it the first time that he'd caught it on tape, he checked the security footage and discovered that an elderly woman had come by in broad daylight and left the little a gift. When confronted, she denied it until presented with video evidence and then gave the excuse of just needing to use the bathroom. You pooped on my house, woman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No, that's not
so
me.
So there was no grudge. She was a member of the HOA.
Right.
But honest to God, whenever she passed this guy's house is when she needed to use the bathroom.
I don't know, man.
They didn't know each other.
I know. That's really? The whole thing, right?
Oh, yeah. She was There's a member. Something about his house.
She dug behind because it was out of sight. It was behind the house, right near an air conditioning unit.
It was right next to his air conditioning
so
unit.
So she would Damn. Go and squat
she
down.
She knew
there.
Exactly what she was doing.
Well, she was using the bathroom, yeah, for sure. But it wasn't a vindictive thing against him.
It's gonna that smell's gonna go into his air conditioning unit and blow into his house.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that it wasn't a personal beef between the two people.
What is now?
I disagree, Miles. Respectfully,
She said she didn't know him.
She said it wasn't her.
Sure, OJ well, said yeah. he didn't kill anybody.
That's true. That's true.
It was detailed that the man had an ongoing issue with the HOA, but however, as Miles said, didn't know any member personally, did not know that she was a member at the time of the dropping. Personally, here, my opinion, I think she knew exactly what she was doing. I think that she had to deal with whatever issue he was having with the HOA.
That's probably.
And she was delivering her little message to him. Now, I don't think he knew her. Yeah, I do agree with that part, but anyway.
I don't have to know you to poop on your house.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I know that's your house.
Repeatedly.
I'm going to poop on that house. We go to Florida for a cop after our own heart. He showed up to work one day. This is awful. He was almost immediately pulled aside by his supervisor due to the smell of alcohol on his breath.
Ooh.
Shamefully, the man admitted, wait for this, Ted. He admitted that he'd been drinking before his shift, copious amounts that he described as, quote, coffee mugs of whiskey.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. Boy's getting after it. Get her done.
Drank mm-hmm. coffee mugs of whiskey the night before. He took a sobriety test and failed miserably. The supervisor admitted that anybody driving under the influence shows a lack of good judgment and has no such place in law enforcement. He's now facing DUI charges as well.
All you had to do was not drink coffee mugs full of whiskey.
Right. Before work.
Before work, yeah.
He said he drank it the night before?
Yeah. And I think
but I guess if you're drinking mugs of whiskey and you only sleep for a couple hours, you'd still be impaired.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I can verify that.
It's not too much to ask to show up sober to work. We all have days. I get that. I mean, I feel like all of us here have showed up, you know, looking through one eye and still tossed from the night before, you know.
Oh,
maybe
hell
took
yeah.
a shot in the morning. But,
yeah.
But come on, man. To the point to where this was not the first time this happened.
Right. Oh, he had shown up before.
I will just throw that out there.
Yeah,
that's my assumption.
Yeah, they probably had their eye on him. Like, dude, come on.
But exactly. Also, we're not cops.
Right. You know, if it happens once, I'm going to pull you aside. Steve, come on, man. What are you doing? You okay?
I've had that conversation here. Trust me.
Ted, you all right, dude? What's going on at home? Come on.
I've had that conversation.
This is a thirsty man.
Oh, no. Strange story out of Minnesota. Police got a call about a single car collision. They arrived on the scene to find a driver of the car being treated by a Good Samaritan, but were alerted that her passenger sadly did not survive the impact. While the bystander consoled her, officers checked out the scene of the deceased, where they quickly ascertained the passenger did not die due to the accident.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The driver was medically cleared at a local hospital and was quickly arrested. An investigation is underway. This sounds an awful lot. Like, one way or another, the driver sought to the death of this passenger and then threw him in the car to stage this whole thing.
I would put them in the front seat, strap them
right.
into the car, and hit a pole on the right side of the car.
Right.
That's what I would do.
But even then, like, our technology...
I mean, so don't ride with Miles.
If I did do it...
You'll be money. Let's go for a drive.
Let's talk it out.
And just in case those stories left a bad taste in your mouth...
Thankfully, there's good news.
Down to the San Diego Zoo, where they got a new resident. In a milestone event for an animal marked as endangered on the International Union for Conservation of Nature Red List of Threatened Species... Say that five times fast. The San Diego Zoo proudly welcomed the birth of a Baird's tapir calf.
Oh, my God. My daughter's going to lose her mind.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if this is your average tapir. It's called a Baird's tapir. I don't know if it's different.
I'm sure she knows what it is. Yeah,
she right. has a specific type of tapir that she likes. It is her favorite animal. She is aware of that one as well.
Okay.
Trust me, I have more tapir knowledge than I should.
What is a tapir?
It looks like an anteater with a half snout.
But it's a little tiny guy.
They're big. Certain ones can get
okay.
big.
They're
oh, I
big.
Saw the picture of it as a baby, right?
That's yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, they can get pretty sizable. They got one down at Point Defiance. Yeah,
oh,
it's huge, man. You can ride that thing like a pony.
I'll be damned.
Oh, yeah, it looks like an elephant.
Yeah.
A fuzzy little elephant.
They're big dudes. Their Baird's tapir by the name of Luna gave birth to the youngin' a few weeks ago, and they're both doing great. The calf is growing, and the pair are bonded to the point that they're actually officially both on display for patrons to take a peek. Officials say the young taper regularly gets the zoomies and has an overall joy for life already.
Oh, nice.
Gotta love it, dude. So there you go. Thank you, San Diego Zoo.
I feel like you really meant that comment.
Sometimes I have to stall while I find my buttons over here.
Oh, I thought he was like, yeah, great. The zoo's got a baby taper.
Taper over here. The Mariners lost their chances at the series last night against the Rays, dropping that game 11-3, but they did hold off the sweep today in the matinee game, coming out ahead 5-2 after a great game by Kirby and a clutch home run by Cal Raleigh. They got the day off to tomorrow, and we'll be back in Seattle for the homestand against the Twins on Friday. As far as your weather, got a little water break headed our way. Clouds are moving in and expected to cool things down tonight and into tomorrow, where we can expect a 50% chance of rain and a high of 63 degrees. However, looks like it's going to be the only day of this week that's showing some rain, so it should brighten up here fairly quickly. That's it for your headlines. With that, Mike Hawk is out.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time for the head chef and Ted's Meat and Potatoes in the game known as Big Dummy.
Yes, indeed. It is all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.